us. But, boy, when you get in Christ Jesus, he frees you from every bit of those issues. Amen. Well, y'all know we've been looking here last few weeks
on Sunday nights. We've been looking at Philippians chapter number 4. So if you will, go back over there and let's look at that. We'll get our attention centered on the scriptures that talk about the, Paul says that he's mentioning these things. And to this church, he's been talking to them about their joy. And really, I mean, you can look at that whole book of Philippians, and he talks about, you know, having, we mentioned there in verse number 4 of chapter 4, he talks about rejoicing in the Lord, or rejoice in the Lord always, he says. And again, I say rejoice. So he's talking about having joy. And, you know, it's kind of, of course, an odd thing for him to be talking about joy, because he's writing this while he is in the prison cell and in Rome. He's trying to encourage somebody when he's in a place where probably he ought to be the most discouraged man on the planet, right? He's not in a place of encouragement, but he's writing and trying to encourage others and saying, look, you've got something to rejoice in. And again, that goes back to the fact where we talked about this, that your joy, I'm not talking about happy. A lot of folks get happiness and joy mixed up. But he said your joy doesn't depend on your circumstance. It doesn't depend on it. We think that it does many times. Well, if I had this, I'd be happy. And that might be true. That might be true. If you had, you know, a better job or a new car or a bigger house or whatever it is you want to throw in there, you know, and that'll make me happy. But can I tell you what about that? It kind of wears off after a little bit. Amen. Amen. I look at this stuff, and about everybody in here, probably just about everybody here, has got a cell phone. And you know what they do? They change them stinking things up, and you got to get a new one. And because it's got a better camera, or it's got a better processor in it that makes it faster, and it makes it do searches, and it, you know, shows movies, and it does no. And pretty soon, and hey, well, just be like Brother Alvin, just get a flip phone, stay with it, brother. Amen. I mean, just, you know, grab it and stay there, right? But we can't do it. We got to have bigger, better. You know, that's us. That's us. We get into those things of there's just always want and all. And if you read on later in this chapter, that's not really what we're going to cover at any point, but Paul talks about verse number 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And that's an amazing thing to say, that you're content wherever you are. But look here in chapter 4, if you will, then. And again, let's begin in verse 4, and we'll just pick it up there where he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, in verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's have a word of prayer, if you will. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening, and thank you again for all of your love and your goodness and your mercies on us. And I pray now, just direct our hearts and our minds in the Word of God tonight, and give us an insight and an understanding of some things this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd just speak to our hearts and draw us close to you, make us more like you. But if there is someone here that needs salvation, please speak to their heart. Draw them to a place of receiving and acknowledging Christ Jesus. And thank you again for just blessing us and giving us this time together, a time of worship, a time of fellowship, a time of praise to you. And we'll just thank you for all things, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, you know, there's there's a lot of differences between men and women. Get an amen right there. Yeah, I figured that'd be amen worthy. But you know what? You look at things. Now, it's one of those scientific things that women, and ladies, this is just science. It ain't Brother Steve. Okay, don't shoot me. But women generally say twice as many words a day as the average man. Now, that's just science. Now, my wife says at our house that don't happen. She said, "You da blabbermouth," and I'm just, you know, over here listening. But somebody told me one time we were talking about that, and I said, "Isn't that amazing, women?" And it was a woman. She said, "But you know why women have to do that?" And I said, "No, what is?" She said, "Because you ain't listening, and you say, huh, and we got to repeat ourselves." So that may be the issue. I don't know. But, you know, there's some differences in all of us in the way that we talk and the way that we think, and there's just some real differences. But I want you to know, whenever you're doing those things, your mind, you may think so. You can ask some people sometimes, "What are you thinking about?" And they'll say, "Oh, nothing." Well, I want to guarantee you, you're thinking of something. Constantly, your mind is on something. Your mind is never completely at rest. You always have something going on in your mind. There's always something that's going on. And really, that's a place of spiritual battle, is in your mind. I know we don't tend to think of it that way. Sometimes we tend to think of the battle on the inside of us as far as our heart. But really, the spiritual battle, many times, is in your mind. And Paul is saying here that there are some things that you and I ought to be thinking on. And if you want to title this message, I'll title it now, "That's Good Thinking." Amen. That is good thinking. So we have a mind that continually is doing something. Your mind's never completely at rest. I mean, man, how many of you wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, you lay there for ever how long and you are solving the world's problems? I've got to get this done tomorrow, and this is coming up, and I'm worried about Susie and Bill and Bob and Charlie and, you know, whatever. We get all kinds of things going on in our mind, and you never get to a place of a complete rest of mind. And in doing that, as I say, it's really a battleground many times for us as far as spiritual things go. But if you look at this and you understand, you cannot have oppositional thinking going on. You can't think of two things at one time. You know what happens when you do that? You get into a place of stress and worry. And see, that's what Paul's already addressed back here in this previous verse, in verse number 6, when he said, "Be careful for nothing." Do not get your mental place or your mental faculties into a place where you are stretched too thin on the thinking. I mean, don't get there. Because, see, that's where worry is. You know, we've talked about how that there's worry. Be careful, he's saying, for nothing. In other words, don't let worry, anxiety, all this stuff stir up your mind, because it will absolutely wear you out. And the devil has nothing better to do. The devil likes nothing better than to wear you out in a mental way. He wants to wear you down. Because if he can get you off of something, off of thinking in the right area, got you thinking about everything else in a scattered area, then, brother, he's got your mind. And he thinks that that's one of the funniest things there is, because you're in a place of anxiety, stress, worry, fear, doubt. All of those things begin to creep in to your mind, and the battle is beginning to be lost on your side. So Paul says, look, I want you to understand. And he's trying to talk to us here about some things. And he said, look, don't have this kind of thinking, this kind of mind. You know what James says about it in the book of James, in chapter number 1, in verse number 8? He said, "A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." What's a double-minded? I just told you. Trying to think about two things, and especially oppositionally, trying to think of things about this and then stretch it that way. Well, I have this, but I need that, and I ought to be doing it, you know. And you get your mind so mixed up, you're unstable. You don't have anything. You need to have, as James talks about it, Jesus talks about having a single eye. James talks about being singly minded. Have a single goal, thought, process in your head. Now, again, this will be easier said than done many times, but that's exactly what the Bible is encouraging us to do. The Bible encourages it. I mean, listen, how are we going to do that, preacher? Well, Paul says it, think on these things. There are some things you need to think on, and there's a lot of other things we don't need to let our minds go there. We just don't need to let our minds go there. I mean, this word that you see here where Paul is talking about being careful, there is a root word in the Greek, and we're not interested in that. If you want to know, we can look at it. But the Greek word means this, care. It means to be divided or pulled apart. And that's exactly what worry and anxiety and care does for us, is it pulls us in two different directions. It gets a hold of you, and it just, as I say, it stretches you, and it'll stretch you mentally. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't let that pressure become part of your Christian mind. And again, you say, well, how do we do this? Well, verse 8 here gives us that answer as we look at it. And you see how it starts. He says, finally, brethren. Finally? What does that mean? Is he about to shut up? No, he's going to write a little bit more. He's like the rest of us preachers. He'll say it a few times and then maybe be through. But really what he's saying is this. Finally, in consideration of this thought, this line of thought about not having anxiety and worry and finding really what he's talking about, if you'll realize it there in verse number 7, and the peace of God. He's trying to get us to that point and to that place where we've got our minds as well as our bodies and our soul. We get ourselves at a place of peace with God. And he's saying, finally. And let me kind of just sum all this up. Here's what I need to finish saying on this subject. In other words, what Paul is saying, he said this is where you ought to go. He's talking about having that anxiety gone, no anxiety, and having a prayerful mind and a peaceful mind before God. He said, and when you do that, he said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it will keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. You're all worried. You're all stirred up. You're all double-minded in your mind. You're stretched. He said, but I want you to be at peace. And he said, and the peace of God will give you some peace in your heart and in your minds when Christ Jesus is in control of those. He said, so now in verse number 8, here's what I'm finally going to say, or this is the last words, I guess you would say, on these things that Paul is beginning. He is saying this. You remember what he wrote in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is reasonable service. But you know what he says in that second verse? He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I get a transformed mind? Amen. Boy, I tell you, there's times you stand around, you about won't pull your hair out, and you're frazzled at work, you're pressured at home, your community, your school, wherever you are, and you got all these things, and you're just like, you know, you don't know what to do. Well, that's where you want that calm down, that settled, that ease of mind that we're all looking for. And Paul says, you need a transformed mind by the power of Christ. Well, how do we get there? Well, that's what he begins to address in these verses. So, you know, the Bible tells us this also over in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs chapter 23 in verse number 7. Solomon wrote these words. He's talking about a man. He said, and as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? However a man thinks, whatever he thinks in his heart, that's how he is. So you know what that means? Paul says, well, think on these things. We think about everything. As I say, sometimes we're trying to solve all these problems. We're trying to fix all these issues. We're trying to go take care of this and that and the other. And brother, let me tell you, that's every one of us in this room. Nobody is exempt from that. I mean, we do put the pressure on ourselves. But the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's what we want, rest for these troubled and wearied minds. So, a lot of folks will say, well, preacher, you're kind of talking about Norman Vincent Peale and the power of positive thinking. This is not the power of positive thinking. I'm not trying to get you to, live your best life now and get your mind elevated and blah, blah, blah. That's not it. I want you to get your mind on the things of God. Get your mind on Christ-like things, on things of value and worth that are solid in the Christian life. So let's see what Paul has to say about this. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So he's saying there's some things you should be thinking about and leave a lot of other stuff alone. So he talks about some things that you and I are to think on. If you'll look at this list, and as we'll just kind of pick them apart just a little bit, as you look on this list, these are all reflective of the character and the personality of God our Father. And most of them are real reflective of the Word of God. I want you to look at this first one. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. What is truth? And I mean, what are some truthful things that you and I can think on? Now, Paul says, whatever things are true, this is what you need to think on. You need to think on true stuff. You know what? Sometimes we get all tore up and stirred up with a lie, don't we? Boy, how am I going to get out of this situation? Let's see. Let me think. I'll say this, and I'll kind of half tell the truth, and I'll just kind of fudge a little bit on that, and I'll say, no, sir, you need to think on what's true. Get your mindset on truthful things. And you know what real truth is? Hey, the Word of God is truth. In the book of John, in chapter 17, Jesus is praying in the garden, right? John 17, verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify them. He's praying for us. And he says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want to know what real truth is, it is found only in the Word of God. So you know what Paul is saying? If you're going to think on things that are true, you think on some things that God has approved of in His Word. Some things that God has approved of for my thoughts and for your thoughts. That's the kind of stuff you ought to be thinking on. I mean, if you're having trouble sometimes at night trying to fall asleep or you wake up or whatever it is, you know what? I find, buddy, all I got to do is just start quoting Bible verses in my head. And I'm telling you, the devil don't like it, and he'll let you go back to sleep. Amen? So if you have something, go ahead and try that, and you'll see that the Word of God, just think on some true things. I mean, all of the rest of the world wants you to think on something that's untrue, something that's a lie, something that's false, something that's evil, something that's wicked and out in the way somewhere. You think on what's true. Get your mind cleared up and think on the truth that comes through knowing the Word of God and the things that God says are true. Amen? I mean, there's a lot of things today that God says are true, and you and I are just to think on those things. Amen? Hey, this world has got so messed up that we've got people thinking about everything else but the truth, right? I mean, I'm just going to pick on a few little things. We've got people say, oh, well, man, if I can go score some drugs, I'll feel better. That's a lie. The truth is you need to face reality and get in the middle of whatever it is that's going on with you and just deal with it and ask for God's help. I mean, that's what's true. Now, it may not be, you know, what's fun. It may not be what you think is exactly going to work out for the best in you, but it's still what's true. And that's the kind of stuff you need to think of. Amen? I mean, we got a world today that we've got boys that think they're girls and girls think they're boys. Can I tell you, that's not true. That's an untruth. And I'm telling you, you need to think on the things that are true. I mean, you know, we got people that's got all kinds of ideas about marriage and about, you know, living together, cohabitation, all that kind of mess. And a lot of it is not true. God has developed some true things, and that's what you and I should think on and stand on. So Paul says, first of all, that whatsoever things are true. Second of all, he says, whatsoever things are true. Honest. Think on some honest thing. Now, we tend to think of the word honest as of something that, you know, again, almost goes back to truth. It's if it's honest, it's real, if you will. And what it even has the idea sewn into it is this, that they are things that are honorable. Those are things that are of respect, and they deserve and they demand respect. And you know, we've about got away from that in the day that we live. I mean, I believe you ought to respect the Word of God. Amen? You ought to respect the house of God. You ought to respect the things of God. You ought to respect this world that God has made and the way that He's made. Man, but we've got people that they're just not being honest anymore. They're just doing any and everything to make a little money, make a name, get a place of fame and fortune in their life. Hey, but I'm telling you, there are some things that are honorable still. And the Lord said, if you're going to think on stuff that is honest. Get something that is honest and honorable and that deserves a special respect and has a special place in your life. And I'll tell you, you know what that is? You ought to think again on the Word of God. That's what ought to have the utmost of our respect. It ought to be the Word of God. I mean, there's people that want to belittle it. There are people that want to change it. There are people that say, well, that's not what that means. But can I tell you, I'm going to say God is honest in what He says. Again, it may not be everything that we like. It might not agree with our flesh. It might not agree with our thinking and our way. But if God says it, it's still honest and it's still true. It's still right. So you and I ought to think on the things that are honest. Well, he says not only that. He said think on whatsoever things are just. Just, well, what does that mean? Well, basically it means whatever's right. We've got so used to people saying, well, that may be what you think, but I think another way. And I don't think that's right. I think I'm right. Well, you know, the Bible still tells us that in the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That doesn't make it right. That just says that he thought it was right. But I'm telling you, when you and I think on things that are just, I mean, the sense of justice that God has is way different than what this world has. Do you know if you've got enough money or if you've got enough influence or you've got enough power or sway in something, you can get some things changed in the legal sense. But can I tell you, one day when you stand before God, that's one of the great attributes of our God, is He is a just and a righteous God. He's going to do what is just and righteous. Wilt thou not do what is right? God is going to, because He's the judge. He's the just one of all eternity. And you and I've got to realize, man, thank God, hey, He's going to do what's right. God's always going to be right. He's always going to be just. Now, you know, there's people that tell you today, well, preacher, do you really think that God sends people to hell? Is that fair? Is that right? Is that just? Yes, it is. And I'll tell you why. Because God is a God of justice. God is, now I guarantee you, God's a God of love. And that's part of the character. That's part of the things that we know about God. That's part of his attribute, is that he is a God of love. Matter of fact, John writes and said, God is love. And he talks about the love of God and how it works and what it is. And I mean, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, and he talked about all of the values and the intricacies of charity or love. He talked about that for an entire chapter. So it's an important thing to understand God's love. But I want to tell you something else. God is just also. My Bible tells me that God is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. And I want to tell you, that's right. I mean, you say, well, that ain't fair. He's liking you better, and he's like, well, it's not a matter of like. It's a matter of his inherent character and his inherent design. Brother, God is looking for the things that are just and right and honorable. Amen? I mean, we get, as I say, in our society, we've got a little idea of swayed justice and swayed righteousness and swayed thinking in those areas. But God is always just. When somebody stands before God, when a man stands before God, let me just tell you, he's going to find out what God knows and what God thinks about what you've done and who you are. All of those things. God will tell you. He'll read you and read your title pretty clean. Amen? And he's going to be right in doing it. He's going to be right. But aren't you glad that if you're saved and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that he's going to look on you and say, you have been what? Justified. Amen. You know what that means? Somebody said, well, it's pretty simple. Justified means I'm justified, never sinned. And you know how I got that way? Because of what Christ Jesus has done for me. Because I know I'm not just. I know I'm not, you know, without my faults and errors and sins and problems and all that. But thank God, through Christ Jesus, I have been justified. Amen? So he says, think on things that are just. Think on the things that are right and righteous and within the righteous thinking and ways of God. They talk about those things that are there within God's standard. The way things conform to God's standards of righteousness, and they're unchanging. And aren't you glad that they're revealed in the Word of God? Amen? So listen to what he says. He said, think on things that are true, and think on things that are honest. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Boy, that's something a lot of us need to work on, isn't it? The impurities in our thought life. And I'm here to tell you, stuff will run through your head. And it don't take much to get something impure into your thinking. I mean, you see a picture. You see a commercial on television. You see a billboard on the roadside. I mean, just any number of things. You see an incident somewhere, wherever you are. And brother, sometimes it will stir up some impure thinking on our part. But can I tell you, the Word of God tells us whatsoever things are pure, that's what you and I are supposed to think on. Those things that are undefiled. Those things that are holy. Those things that are morally clean. I mean, again, hey, a good thing would be to think on the Word of God. God says, be ye holy. Because this word pure is derived from that same thought of the holiness of God. It's hagnos, and that's the same idea about being holy. It's something that's pure, something that is undefiled, something that is not smuttied or dirty. Thank God. I'm glad the Lord said, think on some pure things when you're thinking. Amen? So whatsoever things are pure, that's what you ought to be thinking on. And again, I'm saying every one of us, we get into thinking about some little devious thoughts and some little devious plans and some little, oh boy, I'm going to let my mind go here and I'm thinking about this. Hey, you better get out of that. Get your mind back onto some things that are pure. He said, whatsoever things are pure. And then he said, whatsoever things are lovely, lovely. And if something is lovely, it has to do with something that you love. And really, it has the idea of something that is very special and dear to you. Those things that are loving. And really, again, I say Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13. He gives us an entire treatise there about love. He says all the things. He said charity, you know, doesn't vault itself. It thinks of others, and it gives, and it does, and it doesn't hold any grudges, and all those things. You can go back and read that sometime. All the things that Paul says about what charity is, and charity is just simply love that's been put into action, if you will. But he says, hey, think on some lovely things. Think on how you can love the things that God has put in your life, the people that God has put in your life, the places that God has put in your life, and how you can have something and do something, think something loving toward others. Why don't you ever things are lovely? I mean, you think about, boy, how can I help them? How can I be a blessing to this person? How can I encourage them? How can I? Some things that are lovely. That's lovely. That is loving, if you will, for me and you to think about those things. Not about, well, how can I get ahead of them? How can I kind of kick them to the curb? How can I crush them under my heel? That's not lovely or nor loving, but God wants you to think on some things that are lovely. And when you begin to think about it, you'll look at people in a different way. You may see them in their worst state and on their worst day, but you look at them, you know what? You realize that they need a Savior. They need somebody to help them. They need somebody to do something for them. Amen? And notice what he says in this last part of this. He says, whatsoever things are of good report. Something that's of good report. You know what he's saying? Think about the good side. Again, not just of people, but of things. Something that's got a good report. You think about how you can report the good side of it. Something that you can, as we like to say something good about somebody. And if you can't say something good, just don't say nothing at all. I know a long time ago, we were talking about somebody, me and my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law wasn't saying very much. And me and my dad-in-law, we were saying blah, 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 you know, whatever. We were carrying on, whatever. And my mother-in-law looked over at us, and I think the guy's last name was something like White or Brown or something simple like that. And she said, well, you know what? He don't have very many letters in his last name. And I went, what does that mean? She said, if you think of something good to say about somebody, amen. If you can't say, think of something good to say about them. Amen. I mean, that's the way that we ought to be. Think of things that are of good report. Don't think about all the bad, all the negative, all of the, oh boy, kind of things that you can think. Because we can all think them up pretty good, can't we? But if you can't say nothing good, just keep your mouth shut. Amen? Think on some things that are of good report. Now, don't you notice what Paul does? He said that here's some things that you should think on, but then he gives a summation of how to think. You notice what he said? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. He says, if there's anything that is of any, that there be any virtue, if there's anything that you're thinking about, think about it in a virtuous way. And the word virtue, usually we think of virtue as something that has a moral excellence about it. That it's morally right. It's something that is. So what you're trying to do is think on the way and let your thinking line up with the way that God thinks about things. Think about the way that God looks at things. Now, it's an honest look. It's an honest thought. It's an honest mindset. But, hey, when you'll do that, you are thinking in a virtuous way. You're thinking with some moral rightness and some moral direction. And you're saying, this is the right thing to do. I mean, hey, we can, as I say, let our minds go and talk badly and say negative things. But listen, the Bible says here that you ought to get your mind into a place where you're thinking about those things as God would think of them and have some thought and conduct toward them. I'm telling you, God wants me and you to have a good thought in our mind. And you know what that'll help you to do? It'll help you to grow in the grace and an understanding of Him. When you begin to think about things the way that God does, you say, God, please help me. And as you're, you know, Paul has brought in the idea of prayer. And when you'll bring your prayer into this coverage, this umbrella of this, you'll see, when you begin to do that, you'll see that God will let you think on the things the way He does. And when you think of them that way, hey, you'll have a better clarity of them. And you'll begin to think of them the way that He does. And if you'll look at things the way that God looks at them, it's a whole different look than the way me and you generally look at them. We'll begin to think of some things and say, oh God, how can we help them? How can I be a blessing? What can I say to show them Christ? What can I do to get them out of that terrible place that they're in? What, you know, God, you're going to have to show me. If there's any virtue, He said, if there's anything, you think about that. What can I do for this situation? Don't just sit there and say, well, it's hopeless and they're hell bound and they ain't going to be no good and they ain't going to do no good. You know, a lot of people, and I've talked to them through the years, that'll tell me, say, all my life somebody told me I was no good. I'd never amount to nothing. I didn't know nothing. I was, you know, bad or whatever negative. Man, I'll tell you, you get that in a kid's head and they'll grow up with that. Amen? They'll grow up with that and they'll be convinced of it. Oh, I've always just been a dummy. I've always been good for nothing. My mama said I'd never amount. Man, when you get to folks like that, you need to encourage them, because that isn't how God sees us. Amen? I'm talking about even the worst among us. Hey, God sees us as somebody that has some potential. You know, there was a song, I think the Cathedral Quartet used to sing it, that said, God saw not what I was, but He saw what I could be. Amen? God didn't, He didn't look at you and say, you're useless. I'm just going to throw you away. I'm getting rid of you. But you know what He said? There's something of value. Amen? Oh, Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and he saw the potter making a work on the wheel, and the clay got marred, and he didn't just throw it away. But you know what he did? He reshaped it, he molded it, and he made it into something. Amen? Woo, aren't you glad God can take your life, no matter where it's at, and He can reshape it and mold it and make you into something? Paul talked about in every household, there's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor. I want to be one of honor. I want to be something. You know what a vessel of honor? A vessel of honor is something that God can use. It may not be the prettiest. It may not be the biggest. It may not be the shiniest. It may not be the most expensive. But thank God it can be something that God can use. Amen? And I'm telling you, that's what we ought to be thinking on, is the virtuous things, the good side, and what God can do. He said, if there be any virtue, think on these things. And then last of all, he says this, if there be any praise, if there's anything that's praiseworthy, think on that. I mean, just think about stuff you can praise the Lord for, right? I mean, got a sunshiny day? Praise God for the sunshine. You got a rainy day? Praise God, we need the rain. I mean, just, you know, whatever it is, just find something that you can praise God for in whatever situation you're in. I'm just telling you, here's Paul, as I said. He says in verse number 11, not that I was speaking respect of want. He said, for I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Hey, praise God, I'm in prison, but it gives me a chance to write a letter to y'all. I may be having all of these afflictions and problems, but I've got time to pray for you. I've got time to talk to the guards. I got time to witness to the prisoners, and thank God somebody might get saved. Amen? I mean, just, you know, if there's anything that's praiseworthy, think on that. Paul and Silas, beaten and put in prison in Acts chapter 16. And you know what? They could have sat there and said, boy, this is bad. This is the worst it's been. We're in prison. We've been beaten. How are you doing over ourselves? You look rough, and you look rough too, Paul, and you know, whatever. They could have sat there and done that. But you know what they did? They began to sing praises and to thank God and to pray. And you know what happened? God sent the earthquake, loosed them from their chains, set them free, and the jailer and his whole family got saved. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatever kind of things that you can praise God for. You know, most of us are very easy, and there's a lot of people that are good at being critics. I mean, man, we can criticize and be critical in just a heartbeat. Yeah, I knew that wasn't going to work. Well, hallelujah. Thank you for that input. You know, that's really being positive. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Somebody said, you know what? I've never seen a statue or a monument erected to a critic. Amen? All of the heroes, all of those that tried, all of those that fought and won battles, and even sometimes if they lost, you saw. Amen? Oh, that... I think about that little old song, and this is real spiritual. It's a country song, but it's a song Tom T. Hall wrote about. He said, "I love," and he said, "I love winners when they cry, and I love losers when they try." Amen. I'm just telling you. He said that's praiseworthy. I mean, when you see somebody and they're not doing it, but they're trying. You know what? I'm thankful for that. God, thank you that they're trying. Thank you that they're in this thing. They're not just over, you know, kicking the wall and saying, no, I can't and I shouldn't have and it'll never work and all that kind of stuff. But it's always, you know what it is? It's really your perspective and your mindset. Let me just kind of close it up with this. Adrian Rogers told a story about a preacher and a little boy that went to the Grand Canyon. I don't know, anybody in here ever been to the Grand Canyon, but, you know, it's a great giant place, and if you've ever seen pictures of it, it's beautiful. The Grand Canyon. Well, the two got through with their day, and the preacher wrote his wife a note. And the preacher wrote in his note, he said, "Today I've seen God's handiwork, and I've seen how God put his colors on his palette, and how God took out his fingers and he sculpted a masterpiece." Wow, I think that's pretty good. And the little boy, when he got through, he went back and he wrote Mama a note. And he said, "Hey, Ma, guess what? I just spit a mile." It all depends on how you look at it, right? I mean, hey, you can look at it one way or the other, but I'm telling you, if you'll get your thinking in the right place, get your mind in the right place, you'll think on and realize what God's doing and how he's doing and how it impacts us. And Paul, as I say, Paul is saying, get your mind, get your thinking, get your thoughts into this place. He's saying, don't be worried. Do be prayerful in whatever you're doing. He said, and you'll have the peace of God. And he said, really, to get there, get your mind in a right place. And I don't know, sometimes I'm just like everybody, my mind gets in the wrong place, and the wrong thinking. But as Zig Ziglar used to say, stinking thinking. And sometimes I get into that, don't you? But I'm glad God can give us some of that pure, lovely, of good report kind of thinking. And that's where our mind should be. I don't know where your mind is tonight, but it ought to be on the things of God. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song. Do you need to come pray about some things? Your mind's not right.